Welcome back to The Status Bro on 1190 AM KFXR. I am your host, Kevin Ebeling, joined as always with Zach the Youngblood Lewis.
Hey, how's it going?
Our other co-host, Andrew.
How you doing, Russell Bro?
You'll also be able to hear this broadcast on Stitcher and Player.fm, as well as the Apple iTunes Store. Now, Andrew, that's something I had to ask you. I know you really don't want to talk about any of your dating exploits anymore, or is that just a one-time thing?
I do not.
Why not?
I feel like it's kind of disrespectful to the girls, and really, I don't like the way it makes me feel to come on here and kind of discuss those things to a wider
audience. Our show is The Status Bro. I don't know if you remember that. I
did it for a long time, but you know what? I'm getting older. I turned 29 in a couple weeks.
All right, well, you don't have to get too deep, but you did get laid last week?
Yes.
Was that the first time you were with this girl?
No.
All right. Well, we don't need to get into that too much. Did you wear a bag?
Yes.
Both times? Every time? Yes, every time. All right. Just wondering.
Yeah, let's not dive too deep into it, Kevin.
Well, how long, when you're with a girl, do you think is an appropriate amount of time to where you can sans the hat? Yeah, when you realize that you're at a point where you're trustworthy, you know, there's an equal trust on both sides where you can go ahead and skip that step.
I honestly couldn't say.
I don't either, because it's never really the same from time to time.
You guys are definitely better experts than me.
All right, well, I'll move on to that. I had a ton of stuff to get to today. I got a bunch of... I know we love to talk about Tinder on the show. That's what reminded me of the AJ thing. I have some great... some Tinder troll messages I wanted to talk about. Also, some great stories we have to get to. We have our skill of the week. But before the show this week, Zach was talking to me about a couple of stories that I really liked. Tell me about the banker who... what happened? There was a bunch of blow on the bills, and... I don't remember, did he get high or...
Yeah, a bank teller at the San Luis Valley Federal Bank reported tingly fingers after touching dollar bills that were being exchanged for larger notes. Apparently the bills came from 24-year-old Michael Gutierrez. I don't know what that relevance that has. The bills reportedly had a strange odor.
Oh man, you said his name on the radio, now he might sue us.
They appeared to have been wet, okay?
Ew, gross. Wait, why would they be wet? What does that have to do with coke?
Yeah, what does that have to do with anything?
Right? I don't know. Did he blow his nose with it afterwards?
The Monte Vista Police Chief, Jim Grayson, said field tests for hazardous materials were negative, but a sample of the bills tested positive for cocaine.
But I feel like what percentage of bills probably test positive for cocaine? I think a lot of them.
I heard it was something like 80%.
I think it'd be funny, though, if you tested it and it was a one, you'd be like, what a cheese ball.
It may have been ones. I don't know. It says dollar bills. It doesn't say the specifics, but it's probably a one.
Okay.
I don't know. If the guy's stupid enough to turn in, you know, coke-covered bills at a bank, then you'd think that...
Is there a law against turning in coke-covered bills? Can he just say that I got these somewhere else?
Yeah. I got these from the movie. Yeah, I don't know. Something.
Yeah, if I walk into a gas station and try and pay for a bag of chips with some coke bills, I don't think he's going to be like, no.
Yeah.
I want clean money.
This is illegal.
Yeah.
Get out!
Well, if they were wet, that would certainly raise suspicion.
I don't know. See, this is kind of gross, but sometimes in the summer I'll carry cash in like my back pocket, and maybe riding around the car, and it's really hot. Then I'll pull them out, and they're a little bit. They're a little bit wet from my ass sweat.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, I'm the only guy who's gonna say that's ever happened?
No, it's happened to me.
All right.
I don't keep my wallet in my back pocket though. Definitely front, so it's not quite as bad.
You keep your wallet in your front pocket?
I do.
No, really? I didn't have the wallet.
Do you keep
in
anything
there.
In your back pocket?
No.
Well, I just had the bills
and receipts.
But I hate carrying my wallet in the back pocket as well, because I hate sitting down and feeling off balance. It just drives me nuts. It's really uncomfortable. I leave it in my car most of the time.
No.
I take it out and put it on the table.
I don't leave it in my back pocket for the same reason.
It's really annoying.
Mm.
But yeah, every time that it happened to me where the bills were wet from my my butt was because I just had the bills in my back pocket. I mean, the butt sweat never seeped through my pants into the wallet.
Right, but it was just the bills, right?
Yeah, just the bills.
Maybe
the
you had
bills.
A bill sandwiched in between the wallet and...
Oh, okay, well, that could happen, yeah.
Yeah, that's happened to me before.
Okay,
yeah.
Continue.
All right. I think that's really it for that story. Gutierrez was booked in the Rio Grande County Jail on several outstanding misdemeanor failure to appear warrants.
I thought the teller's fingers got numb.
Police in the U.S., that's what it said, but the story doesn't actually talk about it. It just says made his fingers go numb.
Well, that was a terrible tease. Maybe somebody was trying to make a joke with that headline, and I think they really let us down with that.
Maybe you're right.
I don't like that. I don't like that at all.
All right.
All right, tell me about the one, because this one also really spiked my interest, because I love the TV show Cops. Who doesn't? I feel like I've seen... Cops has been a very long-running series. It's been on for, I want to say, 25 years, maybe more.
I'm not a huge fan.
And I think I've seen almost every episode. AJ, you're a fan, right?
Yeah, absolutely. But every episode, man, that's like thousands of episodes.
Yeah, a ton. Well, okay, you know what? I would say maybe since I was old enough to be watching Cops, I saw everyone. But that may still be. There's probably some in there I missed. Give or take 100 that I may have missed.
I will say, back when I was fun, I felt like I was always flipping through the TV, and I'd see it, and I'd end up watching it for like 7 hours.
Yeah, me too. Sunday seems to be a great day for watching Cops, but almost any time of day it seems to be on. But, yeah, very seldom will I pop on Cops, and it's a segment or an episode that I have not seen yet. So I can say that. Anyway, I always wonder how risky it is being part of, because there's always a crew that go around with the police officers while they're on patrol for the TV show. You have the officer themselves, maybe their partner, and then a cameraman and a sound engineer, like a boom operator. And apparently, I can't believe this has never happened before, a guy got clipped while working for Cops.
Yeah, well, it's actually unclear whether or not he got clipped. The article kind of dances around it, but I'll read it and then you tell me what you think.
Okay, right? Go ahead.
I think you'll come to the same conclusion I did. A suspect and a crew member from the reality TV show Cops in Omaha, Nebraska, have died after police responded to a robbery in progress at a Wendy's restaurant. According to Omaha.com, a lone police officer radioed from the Wendy's.
First of all, let me stop you just for 1 second.
Please.
Who robs at Wendy's? That seems like a terrible place to try to rob.
Yeah, well, that's what makes it interesting. It was around 9:20
p.m. The guy made away with $12.30 and a 6-piece crispy chicken nuggets.
It wasn't even that late at night.
I would probably do it just for the crispy chicken nuggets.
Those are pretty good. I might go for the spicy chicken sandwich just because it's like $4.
All right. Deputy Police Chief Dave Baker told Omaha.com the suspect opened fire, spraying bullets into the restaurant's dining room and shattering its east-facing windows.
Good Lord.
Officer on the scene reportedly returned fire, killing the suspect. Omaha.com later reported the suspect was carrying an air gun that looked like an actual gun. The only real shots fired came from the cops.
Oh, so what? That was a completely misleading headline.
Well, no, hear me out.
What did the headline say?
The headline says cops crew member killed in shooting.
Okay.
Right, but here's the thing. Multiple people were injured. The suspect was the only fatality, and then the crew member...
What, do you have a heart attack or something?
He died later from injuries. I was like, what do you mean injuries? It sounds like the cop shot him. I don't know.
But
maybe the broken glass got to him.
Yeah, I need further investigation
like
into this story.
Clickbait right there.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right, well, we only have a few minutes left until we got to take a very, very short break, but I thought this was pretty funny. Courtesy of thechive.com, we have this guy who, I don't know if it's all the same guy, I think it is, who just naturally, with a site like Tinder, there's going to be tons of people out there just trolling for laughs. But I think this guy came away with some pretty good ones.
Yeah?
Zach, are you distracted by the TV? Can I not have the monitor on during the show anymore?
Yes.
It's actually kind of distracting to me as well. We probably should have shut that off.
Let me turn it off. Xbox, turn off. Yes. There. Happy boys.
Technology.
Anyway.
God, just 3 years ago, he would have had to use a remote control.
I know, we're going
to
get up.
Some of these I thought were pretty funny. This guy says... I guess it just says the name of the girl at the top, and then it has the picture is blurred out. But he sends her a message that says, on Christmas Eve, you're all I want for Christmas. He gets no response. So on December 26th, he says, you ruined Christmas. All right, this girl, this girl says, haha, impressive, but what did you really major in? And he says, hypothetical Egyptian skater culture. My thesis was about whether King Tut could do a sick kickflip. I'm $300,000 in debt. And she goes, whoa, really? Here's another one. This one's weird because the girl starts the conversation. Now, I've been on Tinder many times, and I can't say that I've had very, very few times where the girl started the conversation with me, and if that did happen, I would almost assume it's a bot. What about you, Andrew?
Yeah, I guess.
How long will you wait, by the way, before you'll go ahead and send a message on Tinder? Because you don't want to do it right after you get a match, right?
Depends on how bored I am at work.
Will there be a time, though, where you get a match and it's say it's a really good-looking chick and we'll instantly say, hey, how's it going?
No, I won't do that because then it does seem like way
too eager. You just seem really eager. Yeah, I think the same thing. Okay, this girl says, hey, how's it going? The guy says, damn, girl, that was fast. She says, I have mono. So I'm pretty much bedridden and not doing much else. Ha ha. Why would you say that? And then she says, and no, it wasn't from kissing. And the guy just says, was it from kissing? A lot of this kind of sounds like stuff Andrew would say if he was trolling on Tinder.
Yeah.
You know, it never occurred to me to do that, but now I kind of want to.
You probably could.
All right, let me look at this one. No, that one's not that good. No, that one's not that good. This one's, I'm already getting bored with this one. There were only really a couple of good ones.
Yeah, they were bad.
I say we move on.
All right.
Because I only have a minute left and I wanted to ask about this because I heard this on another radio show recently and they were discussing this and I thought it was extremely weird, but maybe I'm the weird one. And from their conversation, it would seem that I'm the weird one.
All right, go ahead.
They were talking about masturbating in a car. And apparently a lot of guys have tried this out throughout their life, which I found that really, really weird. Well, I've never even considered doing that.
Like Jason Sudeikis?
I don't even know that I've ever been aroused enough while driving around in my vehicle to where I would consider indulging myself.
Wait, you're talking about driving at the same time?
Yes.
That's even worse.
Okay, maybe not even driving. Has anyone ever parked and done that?
Didn't Paul Rubens get busted for that?
No, he was at a movie theater.
Oh, right.
Which silly I think if me. You go to a porno movie theater, that's kind of par for the course.
Apparently not.
What else are you going to go and do there?
Watch and then leave?
That sounds terrible. I wonder what the price of admission is for, though, at a porn theater.
Couple bucks.
It's got to be much cheaper than a regular film, right?
I tried to go into one of them in Portland when I was really, really wasted.
Nice.
It was a film festival, and it was like $30, and I was like, no, I'm not paying that much to go watch like 6 hours of porn.
Well, I mean, if you were going to the movie, wouldn't you only want to go for like 10 minutes?
I was going to say, all you need is like 6 minutes, right?
Yeah.
Pretty much.
All you need is one solid scene.
You're talking about doing it in a car.
Yes, in a car. Have you ever done that? In your vehicle?
No, never.
AJ, yes, I can tell by the look on his face.
No, I never have, honestly.
But have you heard of other people who have?
I've never met anybody who has done that either, I don't think. I'm with you. I think that it's very strange that...
They were acting like people who have never done that were in the minority.
You know, you've done stuff with another person in the car.
Well, yeah.
That's not the same thing at all.
Including...
I suppose you're right.
Including while in transit.
Oh, no.
What, you never did that?
No.
You never did something with a girl of a sexual nature while in motion?
Yes.
Well, that's what I'm asking.
Okay, yes, then you're right.
Andrew?
Yeah?
Okay, was it of a, God, I don't know how to say this, where it's friendly for terrestrial airwaves.
Your first guess would probably be right.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Does it have to do with one's, cabeza? If I say in Spanish, it's okay.
If I confirm that, does that push it into R-rated territory?
No, I think it's okay.
Yeah.
I can say si senor on that one. Anyway, that's pretty much all the time we have left for this first segment. We'll be right back with you very, very shortly. We have tons of stuff to get to in the next half. Stay with us on the Status Bro on 1190 AM.
Stick around for more Bro Show here on 1190 AM.
And we're back on the Status Bro on 1190 AM KFXR. I'm your host, Kevin Ebeling, with
Zach the Youngblood Lewis.
And
Andrew Newsgren.
And we have a bunch of stuff I wanted to jump into here, but I wanted to address a few things that we were talking about before the break, such as Zach's story about the guy and the cocaine and the dollar bills, and we were wondering what percentage of dollar bills actually have cocaine on them.
Yeah.
So, John Rhodes, an avid listener, contributor, an overall good guy who's awesome associated guy with our show. He also happens to be a police officer. He says that 90% of paper money circulating in U.S. cities contains traces of cocaine. That's according to CNN Health News.
Nice.
So that's a pretty good percentage there.
What, I guess, 80?
Something like that. We were pretty close.
Yeah.
Also, we were discussing how if anyone's ever been driving around in their car and decided to indulge themselves, or if you've been in the car receiving indulgence from someone else.
Indulgences.
Yeah. He said he stopped many, many, many people in this circumstance.
Yeah.
And he's speaking to I can't believe that he says he stopped so many people involving self-gratification. I figured if there were going to be stops involving sexual activity, it would have been the oral nature.
Absolutely.
With someone else in the car.
Cabeza.
He said, and so we were asking, how do you spot that kind of thing? Like, what are the telltale signs? How does someone see you doing that?
How do you know?
He told me it's almost the same as a DUI. DWI. Swerving, slowing down, and speeding up, that kind of stuff.
Hmm.
I could see that.
All right. Driving distracted, certainly.
So yeah, I just had a few things I wanted to clear up, but now I think we should dive into our skill of the week.
Thanks, John.
I have three choices. Yes, thank you, John, very much. I have three choices for you guys to choose from.
All right.
Two of them are repeats from last week because we didn't rule those out completely. So
they're both still great.
Number 299 from our book, Man Up, 367 Skills for the Modern Guy by Paul O'Donnell. Number 299, How Do I Pick Someone Up in a Bar? Number 300, What Do I Do When a One-Night Stand is Over? And number 303, How Do I Talk About My Sexually Transmitted Disease with a Potential Partner? I was afraid to bring that one up because I said as soon as I said that I want to talk about that one, people are going to think, oh, this guy must have an STD, which I promise is not the case. As far as I know, I'm clean as the day I was born.
As far as you know.
But it's it's a very interesting concept. What do you guys think? Do you want the pick someone up in a bar, post one night stand, or STD to the partner? What do you think?
I'm a fan of post one night stand. Andrew, what do you think?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. I wanted to do the STD, but, well, you know.
Listen, we can do STD.
I'm going to keep it on the docket.
All right, cool.
All right. What do I do when a one night stand is over? The sex was great. Is breakfast really going to be better? If your partner invites you to stay, but you'd rather not, state that you're flattered, you should be. After all, I am promised a call. A cheesy line about having a meeting in the morning or your mother coming over early to measure for curtains is just going to deepen the impression that you're a heel. I think so, too.
So you say that you're flattered and you get out of there?
Yeah, I think so.
All right.
A cheesy excuse, I think, is really lame.
Is there anything else?
Oh, yeah, there's more.
All right.
If you brought her to your digs, allow her to leave with her dignity intact. See, this is what I was wondering. How do you do that? How do you make that happen?
Agreed.
Because
I've got to go to work. Magic words.
Work is a good excuse, but a lot of times one-night stands could happen on the weekend when a lot of people don't work.
They don't know that. Particularly if it's a one-night stand. I mean...
This, I don't know if I... Okay, then it says, offer her something to wear, an old shirt, and a cup of coffee, per se. Disguise impatience with a show of concern. You okay to drive, or let me call you a cab? I've never called a chick a cab.
I don't think we really live in a place where that's...
That's almost more offensive than, like...
Leaving a chick money for cab fare is almost
exactly.
Like so
it's like saying you're a prostitute
insulting.
Or something like that. Just get out of here.
Yeah, I could not agree more. That's terrible.
That is horrible.
And you'll start the conversation with the appropriate touch of grace. Before you rush to clear out or show her the door, take a moment to consider whether you want to see her go. You've already gotten over the toughest hurdle, a friendship, at least maybe on the other side. I don't like that one.
Yeah, me neither.
I want to know about the pickup in a bar.
All right.
Because these two play directly into each other,
so
I think.
So, well, $299 and $300. You want to double down this week?
Well, how many times have you been in a... I know, maybe not you, Zach, but Andrew... Okay, let's. We can all be adults here. We can all admit. I know I have had one night stands in my past activity. And I don't think it's something that, you know, maybe you feel bad about later, but it's not something I think to be frowned upon. I just think it's part of the social circle. It's just something that happens from time to time.
It's part of growing up.
Well, maybe, but even if you're a grown up, it could be something that happens.
Yeah. All right, I can get on board with that.
Andrew, I'm waiting for you to weigh in here. You know, I'm kind of looking
to
you for an answer. I did.
Did you?
Yes. I was saying you have also been a part of this. You've
yes,
engaged
yes,
in
I
one
have.
Night stands. Yeah. I just don't want to be the only guy who admits he's been in one night stands.
I would if I could, Kevin.
That was basically it. I was just looking for a little camaraderie there. A little bit of a bailout. And the first line of this one is what I thought was really interesting. It says, when it comes to seduction, because it's 299, how to pick up someone in a bar. When it comes to seduction, alcohol is a guy's best friend. That straight up sounds creepy as hell to me.
It's funny. I already don't like this, man. That's just... that's very off-putting.
I feel like so far in this book, it's always been about, like, walking the straight and narrow and, like, doing the right thing. And, like, when a cop pulls you over for a DUI, you just say, yep, I'm drunk, and you need the breathalyzer, and, you know, be nice to the chick after the one-night stand, don't sneak out. And then,
sure.
It hits us with that? Alcohol is a... All right.
That is inherently creepy-sounding.
You're absolutely right.
Because I believe the implication it says from that first line is alcohol is not my best friend. In this circumstance, me being drunk doesn't help any. I think it's saying that getting a girl drunk is what helps you achieve picking up someone in a bar.
Yeah.
But then again, picking up someone in a bar, of course, alcohol is going to be involved.
Hey, can you check the author's page, see if this guy's a Delta Tau?
I mean, has anyone ever tried to pick up a sober chick in a bar?
No.
So maybe they have a point.
Yeah, I can get on board with that.
What would a sober chick be doing in a bar?
Well, exactly. I mean, so
a drink, I guess.
Maybe if a man is going to a bar hoping to meet a woman, and a woman is going to a bar hoping to meet a man, then the drinking thing, maybe that's not creepy. Maybe they're both using that to their advantage.
You're probably right. A little liquid courage helps everybody.
Although a girl going to a bar could just imply that she wants free drinks, and that's, you know, where the guy I feel like is going to be more sexually driven just by nature.
Mm.
And this, okay, let's continue just a little bit. Or we can... just give me one more minute. I'm going to finish this one. When it comes to seduction, the alcohol is a guy's best friend. Therefore, a bar is a time-honored starting point for a one-night stand. But a bar isn't the only place. Your odds go up in a place where women outnumber men. Okay, this seems absolutely ridiculous to me. Bookstores, never would try to pick up a chick there. Museums, never. Art galleries, I've never even been in an art gallery. And
an art gallery.
Retail outlets, which I've spent some time in retail outlets, but still not a place I would look to go for a one-night stand.
You'd think it'd tell you like a dance hall or something, or a club.
Okay, but it says there are also substitutes for booze. One of these is confidence. Instill some in yourself before you go on the prowl by treating yourself to an expensive haircut. Buy a new piece of clothing, and wear an outfit you know you look good in. Pamper yourself. But Zach and I have talked about this before. When you're going out, it's nice to have your hair look good, but you don't want a look where you just got your hair cut.
Not at all.
Because everything is like freshly shaved and trimmed or whatever. I think I need at least a week for everything to even out before I'm comfortable with the new haircut.
You have to get a haircut a week ahead of anything in which you needed a haircut for. Otherwise, it's too late.
It says she will likely spot your intentions a mile off. If you're rebuffed, move on, but don't give up. A woman who's dismissive or unsettled by your attention at first may find that your pursuit was the most entertaining thing about the evening, or may get jealous to see you flirt with another. I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think any of this stuff is really going to do the
trick.
I'd
be curious about this guy's success ratio with that particular skill.
Yeah, I would too.
Probably good enough to write a book.
Lastly, it says, don't forget to equip yourself with a condom. Of course, be safe. I like how they give a disclaimer about the condom and the one-night stands thing, but they don't give you a disclaimer about drinking and driving.
Yeah, I know.
But that the drinking and driving entry was terrible, though. Basically, just said, yep, you're screwed.
I gotta be honest, if I had this book in my car and I got pulled over for DUI and I was like, oh man, maybe I can figure it out. And I whipped it open and it told me, well, just fess up. I'd be like, really? That's what I bought this book for?
This last sentence, though, I think is genius. And this is something I've worried about happening, but I've never heard of or seen encounter before. But it says, lack of protection can be a last minute deal breaker when you're ready to go.
I could see that.
I could see that too. I've never been in that circumstance, but what if you were finally with a chick, a hot chick, you're ready to seal the deal, and you just don't have the necessary materials to make that happen? Jeez. That would suck.
Yeah, this actually happened to me last week. I told her I have to go buy condoms, and
she was like, the mood's gone?
Not a big deal. No.
Oh, you actually went and bought the condoms, went back and sealed the deal?
Well, she came with me because she wanted to get a six-pack of beer, but yeah, I mean...
Oh, okay. Well, that's not too bad.
Honestly, nice. I was more surprised after all these girls who actually just happened to have condoms sitting around. It was kind of a nice surprise. Like, oh, you don't just keep condoms sitting in your drawer.
That's that was probably nice. You probably enjoyed that.
Yeah,
it was pleasant.
All right, well, we're running out of time a little bit here, Andrew. Let's go to your news.
Talk amongst yourselves for just
against
a moment.
All odds,
we don't have time to talk amongst ourselves.
All right, well, then I guess the news is just not happening, Kevin. What do you want me to do?
I want you to get your news as quickly as possible
while I'm trying
about condoms.
Against all odds, Andrew once again prevails. Good for him.
Okay, well, this isn't really news. I just don't like Megan Fox, so we're going to go with this one.
I don't really like Megan Fox either, but she is smoking hot.
Yeah, she is. Defended her belief in paranormal phenomena in an MTV News interview. She's promoting Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Reporter asked her about her belief in the paranormal. Knowing where this is headed, she gets a kind of, okay, let's get this over with attitude with Horowitz, who clearly finds her beliefs amusing. They begin talking about Bigfoots, and Fox points out that science is making new discoveries all the time. She says she doesn't think it is strange that we have not found them yet, because it is intelligent enough not to be found.
Okay.
Horowitz asks her if she believes in UFOs.
How profound.
Fox replies, yes, 1,000%. How can you not believe? Defending her belief in UFOs, she asks, if they are a more advanced species, why would we be able to find them if they don't want to be found? Horowitz says it just seems like kind of a convenient excuse. She says, but until we find things that have been previously unfound, that they still exist. I'm sorry, I'm misquoting her there, but either way, she's not very smart.
I think the whole point, almost, if you're a reporter in this circumstance, would just be to ask particularly intellectual questions that you know she's going to have retarded answers for. I mean, that's what I would do.
Absolutely.
For the sake of entertainment.
Oh, Megan Fox.
Which, yeah, those were all absolutely terrible. Is that all?
Well, I mean, there's more to it, but it's all in the same vein. I mean, I think you get the idea.
Okay, what about the next story?
Gotta do another one, man. Come on. I'm sorry, I do have three stories, I swear.
All right. Take your time. I was enjoying talking about that not having protection in the middle, when you're about to bang a chick type thing.
Oh, okay, this is a good one. All right, sorry. Michigan man Dan Maurer, who just raised enough money for his operation to get his 100-pound scrotum removed.
Cool.
His scrotum started ballooning in his late 20s and continued to swell despite constant exercise, which apparently was recommended to him as a treatment by doctors. That wouldn't have occurred to me.
I would ask for some sort of a benication, but that's just me.
In any case, it wasn't until he watched a TLC documentary about Wesley Warren, who...
You know what I'm kind of pissed about right now? Why didn't Andrew start with the giant nuts? Okay, that's what I wanted to hear.
I forgot all about it. I'm sorry.
That's a good story.
Wesley Warren, the man with 130-pound scrotum who died after several heart attacks that he realized he had scrotal lymphedema.
130-pound scrotum, scream status, bro.
Mauro, wanting to save his marriage and possibly his life, decided to meet with the same doctor. He didn't have the money, but he started a Kickstarter and raised the money. He is looking forward to not suffering from the condition anymore and having sex with his wife for the first time in 7 years.
I don't get it. How are they going to get rid of his nut problem?
Apparently, there's a special operation you can do for it. It just costs $28,000, and I guess this guy didn't have insurance that was willing to pay for that.
How do they reduce the size of his balls?
You got to wonder if his Kickstarter goals were like, make 10 grand and I'll post pictures or something.
It's weird. I think that would actually just be a very simple procedure unless like the, I mean, couldn't they just castrate him? Apparently that's something they can do medically, so.
Yeah, but I'd rather try have a way to save my boys rather than have to get rid of them. All right, look, we're just about out of time this week, guys. That's all we really have left. We have a great show for you next week. We'll have tons of other stuff to get to that we didn't get to this week. We'll see you next week on the Status Bro at 1190 AM.